lines are falling off.
Hey, all the way down. I've heard of it. I'm thinking of
all right. Luke 9 is where our study will be today, but we're going to start in page 183 in your hymn book.
Look at the back of the hymn book.
All hymnals today, Jessica. Praise
you're bearing false witness. Because your favorite song is in that other book, and it's full of hymns. She won't listen. She will not listen. Her favorite song is in that book. What a day that will be. You said that is your favorite song.
My favorite.
Well, then you bore false witness that day. Yeah, I want to say something before we sing this. It's a great song because if you pay attention to the lyrics, I'm not a prophet. I've never claimed to be a prophet. But the Bible has told us that there are wicked people in this world.
Yes.
And I've identified the largest segment of self-professing wicked people in America today are called liberals.
Yes.
And I've outlined their agenda. It is a satanic agenda. I've also warned, and I am one of hundreds at least of preachers I know of who have been warning and people have been ignoring that liberalism is a cult. The first person I remember saying that was Walter Martin.
Yep.
And that was back in the early 90s when I first got saved. But it is a cult, and I've warned that you, and I'm just urging you to use caution. Because I don't care if it's your own brother, your own sister, your own parents, your own grandparents, your best friend from high school,
your wife,
your co-worker. It could be a spouse in some cases. If they are a liberal. And that's there's a definition to that. They reject absolute truth. That means they reject the Bible. That means they cannot be saved. How can you be saved if you reject the Bible? Unless they come to repent and accept the Bible as God's word, they cannot be saved. So as long as they are a liberal, they cannot be saved. You have to pray for them and talk to them and urge them to reconsider their rejection of God's word. And then preach the gospel once they believe God's word. You go ahead and preach the gospel anyway. But I'm telling you, the Bible itself says that anybody who is a liberal, and I mean that by definition, not just name calling, somebody who rejects truth, they reject the possibility of there being absolute truth. They do not believe the Bible is God's word. They will turn you in. They will get you fired. They will rally people against you. And we're there. And we're going to talk more about it in our current events update. But we are there. And your liberal friends and family, I'm not telling you to shun them. I'm telling you, you're going, if you haven't already been, like I have, by many of those people, shunned. I have three daughters who don't speak to me right now. The third one who used to sit right here is given into the Black Lives Matter idiocy. And the whole liberal victimology and all that nonsense. I didn't shun them. And I'm telling you that that's going to start happening more and more in our families. And so when you sing this three-verse song, pay attention to the words. This is what it's been like to be a Christian for 2,000 years. The American Christian church has, for the most part, got a free ride. And that ride is coming to an end. So let's sing it. Page 183, Faith of Our Fathers.
Glory.
his last words. We will be true to thee today. Good. 460. Leaning on the everlasting arms. And as we were saying in Sunday school this morning, discipleship is God's program. It doesn't need changed or improved upon. What it needs is for people to do it. God's program is that you meet in a local church fellowship. Every Sunday, we have bonus Sunday morning and bonus Wednesday night. You see, it's not biblically mandated, but in Hebrews 10:25, it says, not only does it say not to forsake the gathering of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Those are the people who are not being discipled. Then it says, but even more so, as you see the day approaching. So in this time, it's even more important to get together more often. Amen. With the local fellowship. Which is why we also have times where we just get together, maybe watch something on the screen or hang out even. Just having fellowship. And we always take a little time to pray and that sort of thing. But also, as we're able to do more of it, we haven't done much this year, but do more street ministry and that sort of thing. But the song we're about to sing, what a fellowship, what a joy divine, starts with our fellowship with the Lord, but includes and involves our fellowship with one another. God's people are His body. So let's sing about it. 460, leaning on the everlasting arms. Ask me later. 279. Let's close our singing with A Child of the King. 279. Going to have you all stand so I can wake you up real good before I preach at you. 279. A Child of the King. Stand if you can. We'll sing all four verses.
Holdeth the wealth of the world in His hand, of ruby and diamond.
Say, I'm a child of the King.
I'm a child of the King.
Amen. All right, you can be seated. And we remind the onliners, send your prayer requests to bbfohio@protonmail.com. If you want prayed for, you better get your prayer cards and fill them out.
Did I put my phone down?
All right, we'll be in Luke chapter 9. Picking up verse 37. January 6th in the Capitol building. We just need to discuss this because, again, if you're watching ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, I love you, but you're stupid. I'm just tired. I have people contacting me with crap that they're seeing on these lying, left-wing, satanic networks. And I don't even want to answer their question. I want to ask them, why are you feeding your brain on that nonsense?
Amen.
But Christians continue to watch it and then be misled. And if I want to tell you, if you think that there was a breach at the Capitol building on January 6th, and if you think Trump supporters broke into the Capitol, wherever you heard that, you should never watch them again. You're being lied to. And I, of course, I never just expect you to take my word for it. But if you were told it was a breach, you were lied to.
Amen.
I'm not going to ask for a showing of hands, but most everybody I talk to thinks that. It's because you're getting your news from liars. And that includes your government.
Amen.
There's the video. I had to mute it because there was some language. You are seeing the Capital City Police allowing people into the building, inviting them into the building. And I lowered the sound because when they opened that side door, it let off an alarm. But here's your cops. Look at it. One, two, three, four, five, escorting them basically into the Capitol. The point is, they didn't breach. They opened the door and they let them in. And your news media, and if you try to tell people the truth on Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube, they'll delete it because they're liars. Now, I don't want to hear everybody confess your sins. I want you to ask yourself, where did I hear that there was a breach? Where did I see? Were there a few people breaking windows and things? Yes, they're called Antifa.
Amen.
They're called Black Lives Matter. Listen, folks, they're liars. Liberals lie. It's what they do. And we fundamental preachers have been preaching this for 100 years. And the mainstream and the masses totally ignore it. Just like Noah preaching about the ark. So what about the destruction of property? Well, here's just one of them. This man is a known Black Lives Matter activist seen inside the building. And I've seen others who have been identified as well. A Black Lives Matter activist was part of the group that entered the U.S. Capitol on Wednesday. John Earl Sullivan was that man's name, who has advocated for an armed revolution on social media. He was arrested in July 2020 for making a threat of violence and criminal mischief. He organized a protest with Black Lives Matter activists and members of the far-left Antifa network. According to the Deseret News, Sullivan damaged vehicles and urged people to block roadways. Video footage captured him threatening to beat a woman. That's one of the Black Lives Matter activists that were there, breaking things, stealing things. And Deep State hoped that it would go further. And because there were actually Trump supporters who were detaining and fighting against the Antifa and BLM as they tried to destroy the Capitol. But that's what deep state, and when I say deep state, I mean the elite in both political parties.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Charlie?
I have a friend that was there, and he said that when when people were starting to do stuff, like breaking windows and stuff, the crowd was yelling at them to stop.
Charlie has a friend who is there. We have a friend named Sean that was there. And he said the same thing, and I talked to him yesterday.
Eyewitnesses
will tell you that there were Antifa BLM people breaking stuff as the Capitol City Police were escorting Trump supporters into the Capitol, just as they've done many, many other times when there's protests. And the scapegoats are the Sergeant at Arms and the Capitol City Police Chief. They're the scapegoats.
And
they were doing exactly what they were told to do. Well, that's why I tell you to know history, because I'm about to show you that. I want to ask you to hold your questions and everything to the end. I want to present this to you.
Amen.
That's the Reichstag fire in Germany that basically enabled Hitler to take over. That is what the leaders of your country orchestrated and wanted to happen to the Capitol building. And they didn't get what they wanted, so they're blowing it up and trying to act like it was much worse. That was a picnic, people. What happened in the Capitol building can be fixed in less than 24 hours.
Amen.
The only thing of any consequence was a laptop being stolen, and you know why that's a consequence? Because if it did belong to Nancy Pelosi, there's probably criminal stuff on there that'll put her in prison.
Amen. Amen.
Other than that, there was nothing of any consequence on January 6th. And all your news people saying otherwise, including Fox News, are a bunch of liars.
Amen.
I'm not going to show you that video, but there's video where you can see the girl being shot. She's unarmed. She wasn't a threat to anybody.
Yeah, they
cloned me. No, and if you turn on your news stations, you know what they're saying? They're acting like the police treated the white Trump supporters. Ignore the blacks and the Hispanics that were there too. The news media is painting up as a bunch of white Trump supporters, and that the cops treated them just, you know, like they were, you know, welcome there. Yes, that was what the original idea was. But then Antifa and Black Lives Matter starts breaking things, throwing things, and then you have the Secret Service agent shoot a woman who's unarmed. Why? To try to instigate. They were trying to get the Trump supporters to react and burn the place to the ground so they'd have their Reichstag. The Reichstag fire, because I'm not picking on you, but I know Mark and only a couple other people probably even know what I'm talking about. They don't teach this stuff in school. They don't. You can see it on the History Channel and that sort of thing, but then you always get the spin. But the Reichstag fire on February 27, 1933, the German Parliament building was called the Reichstag. It was burned down. The Nazi leadership and its coalition partners used the fire to claim that communists were planning a violent uprising. They're calling you Nazis. And they claimed that emergency legislation was needed to prevent this. That's coming. They're already working on it. As soon as Biden is installed, that's what they're going to do. Why? This resulting act, commonly known as the Reichstag Fire Decree, abolished a number of constitutional protections and paved the way for Nazi dictatorship. They are going to try to pass legislation, hold it to the end. They're going to try to pass legislation in order to take your rights from you. And they're already doing it by this. Because one thing you can never accuse American Christians and conservatives of being is smart.
Yeah.
We for several years, but especially this last year, have been trying to tell our leaders that the social media monopoly in this country is it should be illegal according to our antitrust laws, and it is a threat to our republic. And now, I'm going to show you in just a minute, they are clamping down, they're shutting down anybody who speaks against what's going on. Just like they did in Nazi Germany. Implemented one day after the fire, the decree suspended the right to assembly, which means we won't be able to have church, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, and other constitutional protections, including all restraints on police investigations, which is already in effect. That's why none of these criminals are being investigated. Durham, they called him the bulldog. They should call him bull something else. It remained in effect until Nazi Germany was defeated in May 1945. And that's what's happening right now in America. They are clamping down on any dissent.
Yeah.
They've been censoring people to a great extent for several years now. Now they're just shutting them down. Parler was the free speech alternative to Twitter. Gab was as well. Gab is still going to be up, I believe, because they already tried to shut Gab.com down. They put their own servers up. Parler, for whatever reason, I'm going to come back to that in just a second. The decree permitted the regime to arrest and incarcerate political opponents without specific charge,
yep.
to dissolve political organizations, and to confiscate private property.
Yep.
Now, you had better decide you're going to speak up now. It's your last shot.
Amen.
The next shot is to take you away,
yep.
if you speak up.
Yep.
The next shot is you have to remain silent or you're going to be taken away to a camp or at least to jail. That's next.
Yep.
And for years, everybody scoffed at us and scoffed at us. Oh, they would never do that, and they do it. Well, they'd never do that, and they do it. They'd never do this, and they're doing it.
Yeah.
This is exactly what the Democrat social media and news media are doing. And Fox News, the idea is you can't beat them, join them. Well, what happened with Fox News is Rupert has been replaced by more liberal family members, and they brought in more liberal people. And you still have Tucker and Sean Hannity and Judge Jeanine and a few on there, but you're going to watch. They're either going to conform, which they have already to some extent, or they're going to be taken off.
Right.
And, you know, it'll always be something like Bill O'Reilly. They'll find some whore bag to say Bill grabbed her butt. You know, that's what they always do. So Tucker's probably said something or done touched somebody some way, and they'll say, and they'll take him off. And Sean Hannity, they've already tried that, actually. They'll succeed. At some point.
Yeah.
Apple to Parler. Crack down on free speech or face ban. In other words, they told Parler to not let people like you, people like me, speak freely. And if they won't stop us, then they're removing Parler from their app store. They gave them about a day or two, and they've already done it.
And Amazon is...
Well, getting there. Twitter purge. Conservative social media personalities report losing thousands of followers. Why? Some of them were deleted. Others of them said, you know what? I'm done with you bunch of communists.
Amen.
And that's what we keep telling everybody. Anybody who's not a communist should not be on Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube anymore. If you're a communist, stay on there. Now, we have one lady who has told us that that's the only way she can keep in contact with family overseas, and that's the exception, folks. 99 out of 100 people I know don't have any excuse.
Amen.
Conservative walk away group kicked off Facebook amid purge. Friday night massacre. This is Breitbart. Twitter purges Trump. Parler faces bans from Apple and Google, and that's already taking place. On and on it goes. This is a statement from John, I think his name is Matz. He's the fellow who's the head of Parler, CEO or COO, whatever. And he's telling everybody, today, Sunday, at midnight, Amazon will be shutting off all our servers in an attempt to completely remove free speech off the internet. There is the possibility Parler will be unavailable on the internet for up to a week as we rebuild from scratch. We prepared for events like this by never relying on Amazon's proprietary infrastructure and building bare metal products. We will try our best to move to the new provider right now as we have many competing for our business. However, Amazon, Google, and Apple purposefully did this as a coordinated effort, knowing our options would be limited and knowing this would inflict the most damage right as President Trump was banned from the tech companies. And you can think what you want, folks, but I'm telling you, if these were conservative companies doing this to the Democrats, I would be speaking out. Because as a constitutionalist, I believe in free speech. I've already spoken out. They've kicked all the anti-Semites and white supremacists and the black Hebrews and all these other extremist groups off of social media. It's wrong, folks.
It is.
And it's fulfilling what we said. They come after them and you cheer, but what are you going to do when they come after you?
Amen.
Gab, the reason they had to build their own servers is because they do have a bunch of anti-Semites on there. A bunch of very hateful, vile people. So what do? Grow up. You use the little block feature and you don't see the punk anymore.
Amen.
You don't need Facebook and Twitter and whoever to serve as your nanny.
Amen.
Amen.
But in Congress, the Democrats in the Congress and Senate are calling for more and more censorship. Amazon is deleting conservatives, their books and their items, products that they sell off of Amazon. By the end of this week, our ministry will have nothing to do with Amazon at all. We're done. We've already gone off Facebook. We've already gone off Twitter. We're already off of YouTube. And now it's Amazon. Because we will do what's right.
Amen.
Yes, it's going to cause us some, what's the word?
Inconvenience.
How will we ever live? Well, I'm going to tell you, before Amazon, we lived.
Amen.
What's funny is, we actually went backwards and went forward again, because when my grandma was growing up, they had milk, ice, you name it, delivered. I mean, you order meat, they deliver it. And so then we went to where everybody had to go to the store to get it. Now we went back to a good idea with Amazon, but an idiot runs it. Bezos is an idiot. He's a devil-possessed idiot. And he's a fascist in the sense of a Nazi in the sense of his censorship of people. He's the what is his name? First name? Bezos.
Jeff
Bezos is a modern day book burner.
Yep.
He's doing it digitally. And so what are we going to do? Well, we're looking at the businesses that aren't run by a bunch of fascist pigs, and that's who we're going to buy our stuff from. We live out where there's some Amish places, so we've already been getting a lot of our food locally from the Amish. And we're going to continue. And if we start right now, Lowe's, don't go to Home Depot. If you go to Home Depot, your money is going to your enemies to kill you. They give tens of millions of dollars a year to satanic causes for abortion and sodomy and the Democrat agenda. Wow. So what do? Lowe's. Another good one, Myers. Myers is it. The homos hate Myers because they won't bow to them and give them all kinds of money.
Amen.
So Myers, Lowe's, you need to do your homework. You need to take it seriously that every dollar you spend should be for the glory of God, not for the armory of Satan.
Amen.
And so that's where we're going to leave the, got a couple comments and then we'll go on. Mark first.
Yeah, a lot of these politicians read Hitler's handbook called Mein Kampf. Yeah.
But they're actually reading Saul Alinsky.
Yeah, that too.
And Saul Alinsky, I'm telling you, Mark, most of them are reading Saul Alinsky, who is very similar to Hitler.
Yeah.
But he dedicated his book to Lucifer.
Yeah.
Now, Hillary and Barack Obama, a bunch of others said that was their blueprint. They admitted it.
Yeah.
Now, Biden, I don't believe he's read a book in years.
Yeah.
I don't think he can read.
They're saying he's Biden 46 if he's installed. That's also his IQ.
True.
John?
Yeah. On Wednesday, you notice it was January 6th, the mayor of Washington, D.C., at 6 p.m., had the police go to all the hotels where the Trump guys were and barred the doors so nobody could leave, which is a fire hazard, and they had them in there until 6 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah, that's kind of a coincidence, but... The reality is, though, what they were doing was what the Germans do, the Nazis did, what the communists did. And, Sean was telling me all about his experience, and it was hard. They blocked a lot of the parking, and then there was so many people it was hard to get parking. So he drove around to like 2 a.m. when he got there trying to find a parking spot. Imagine that, taking out coffee pots and not selling coffee. I mean, you talk about punks. Microwaves were taken out. Yeah. Jack?
This is small fry compared to all of this, but it hits home. I created a Facebook group some years ago called America's Gone Crazy, and there's nothing I can do about it. And it was just a conservative political thing that we're talking about now. I turned it over to another guy who called me last night and out of the blue at like 2 a.m. and told me that Facebook told him the group is finally going to shut down for...
Yep.
This information, it was because he was going very heavily on this.
Yeah.
And this is just a small group, 1,400 people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anybody, even individuals are being banned. There was about a dozen people last night that I am associated with on social media who were banned. They were deleted from Facebook and Twitter last night. All you have to do is post anything true about the election, COVID, or the Democrat Party in general, the LGBTQ movement. For years, one guy used the word trans in the context he was talking about. I am not making this up. He was talking about his transmission going out in his truck. They banned him for a week for using a slur. I am not making that up. I believe Byron Smith is my witness, one of my witnesses that saw that. Yeah. Don't call your transmission a trans. It's a slur. Yeah, Charlie, this will be our last one. We got to get in a Bible study.
So just on the training, like, you know, a lot of auto people call transmissions training.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like they don't mean anything. It's literally talking about it.
Right.
And then, yeah, like, real quick, I've for the last year and a half, I've noticed that, like, in my Facebook memories, I deleted my Facebook now that there was just my content, stuff that I had written, just deleted.
Yeah.
And, like, that's been, like, not just stuff that I reposted. That has been going on.
They have, evidently, they're employing, like, hundreds of people to do nothing but go through and delete stuff.
And they have algorithms, they just say, okay, if the content says this word, like you said, trans, or anything, then they can just say, flip it out.
So what do? You delete them before they delete you. And that's all we're going to say about that this morning. We've talked about this many times. But let's open with a word of prayer and get into our study. Father, we thank you, Lord, for a group of people who love you, love your word, and respect the constitutional republic that you have established. And we love your gift to us of our Bill of Rights. And we do want to stand against the onslaught of leftism and liberalism in this country. We want to stand against it to protect our families, to protect our local churches, to protect our right to preach the gospel. But I just pray that all Bible-believing Christians set their mind to the fact that no matter what comes, we will not be silenced. We will preach the gospel even in the threat of being persecuted, being imprisoned, being killed. Our lives in this life are nothing but a vapor. Help us to have an eternal perspective and understand that what matters is eternity. What matters is the glory of Jesus Christ and the gospel that we preach in His name. And so we ask you to give us that mindset and perspective, and with the help of your Holy Spirit, to learn this morning from your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I have to say this, and I want to make clear I'm not bad-mouthing anybody, but we've already had one message removed from the radio because of the fear of the backlash to the radio station. And they may remove more, but we'll put it out where we can, when we can. And, you know, I'm not going to fault businesses, especially to have to deal with the FCC. It's really a shame. I'm just being real with you. I could probably count on one hand how many preachers that I know of in this county who are telling their people anything to do with any of this.
Yeah.
Most of the preachers are wolves in sheep's clothing, and they're telling their people, just obey. Well, obey God first. And if in obeying God you can go along with man, then okay. But if in obeying God you violate man's rules and laws, so be it. And so let's get into Luke 9, beginning verse 37. But they understood not this saying is our title. And I'm going to have you read the odd verses. So jump right in with verse 37 and read it with me. And it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him that he foameth again, and bruising him, hardly departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet a-coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered, every one at all things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, Let these sayings sink down into your hearts, for the Son of Man shall be delivered of ears. Let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them, that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. Then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be the greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him. And that's two more verses than I told you we were going to read. So I'm having trouble seeing my thing here, so I'm going to fix that while you all say amen.
Amen.
All right. I have a setting on here that dims it when I'm in, when it's not well lit, so it doesn't burn my eyeballs out. But when I'm in bright lights, it makes it hard to see. So, it was the day after the scene we studied previously, the Mount of Transfiguration. Keep that in mind, it was just a day later. Peter, James, and John had just seen Jesus in his glory. And oh, by the way, they also got to meet Moses and Elijah. That's quite a thing. Something I don't think you'd ever get over. And so in verse 37, it says, And it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, that's we call it the Mount of Transfiguration, much people met him. And it's just an interesting thing to see that Jesus in his ministry is not very many days where he really gets to be either alone or with just his core group. Spends a lot of time around people. In this day, speaking for myself, There are days where I spend so much time either on the phone, texting, answering emails, you know, whatever, that I just finally have to turn everything off. My brain just feels like it's going to melt. And I think that's the same kind of feeling that Jesus and the apostles had. Remember, Jesus was God, but he was also 100% man. He didn't suffer the results of sin because he was sinless. But he suffered the same things that we do in the flesh when it comes to just getting hungry, getting tired of people. how many of you, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Because how many of you ever, just get tired of people? I was afraid somebody would point at the person next to him. So they come down from the mount to a crowd. And verse 38 says, "And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child." And that's about to change in the Smith family here. But it is something that watch parents mature, we'll say. The first child, there's just certain things you'd never see the parents allow them to do that by the time, say, number four comes along, and suddenly they're doing all kinds of things that you're like, if the first one, I'm trying not to say any names here, if the first one had been doing that, it would be, but the fourth one comes along, that'll live.
Right.
Why? Well, children are precious, and they're like, it's common sense. When you only have one, the focus of your attention, the only one, and then if that's the only one you ever have, sometimes there's only child things, Even the only people who were only child, they call it a syndrome. It's just a situation. I had a couple of friends, they were the only child. They would actually catch themselves doing things. And they would say, "I'm sorry, that's an only child thing." Why? Because if they're home, they're it. They don't have to share anything. Anytime mom and dad want to spend time with the kids, it's kid. You see? Why? Because that's just a natural thing. So you think about this man here. He says, "For he is mine only child." He's probably not a tiny child. He's liable to be possibly even a grown child. And he's the only one, so there's no more coming along. And almost always says, foaming at the mouth like a rabid dog, flailing about and suffering injuries. Think of an only child. And that's the condition they're in almost always. And so this man is heartbroken. He's desperate. And verse 39, "And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him that he foameth again. And bruising him, hardly departeth from him." I've seen people in such a state that they actually injure themselves just by flailing about, and they hit things and they bang into things. And people trying to restrain them can accidentally hurt them. Because there's sometimes, especially when you're talking about a devil, they can be superhuman in strength. Impossible to actually restrain naturally. And I think that's where this kid is. Verse 40. He continues, "And I besought thy disciples to cast them out, and they could not." Now, before you jump on them and say, "Well, what's wrong with them?" I'm one of them. I feel totally inadequate for the dealing with devils. I have been in the presence of devil-possessed people where I knew I was dealing with a devil-possessed person. I was not able to cast anything out. I was barely able to escape without injury.
Uh-huh.
Why? Amen. Because this, you have to believe it or not, and if you reject what I'm about to say, it's to your own detriment.
Amen.
Don't believe the nonsense you're seeing on TV, where the TV preachers walk up and say, "I cast thee out in the name of Jesus," and all this stuff. It's all fake. They've caught them, they pay the people to act like they're devil possessed, and then there's other people who have actual brain damage, brain injury, other, they're on medications that make them flip out and things like that. And what they basically do is restrain them. What we should do to somebody, and I had a preacher one time get mad at me because I was preaching a revival in a church. A bunch of people got saved. It was really a great meeting. Something I don't even think you'd see nowadays. Not because of me, because of the condition of our culture. We don't hear about it very often. A lot more than a couple of people getting saved at one time. You hardly ever hear about that anymore. And while that was going on, we were in our, we were supposed to be a 5-day meeting. We were on our 12th day.
Wow.
And there was no one was talking about ending anything. But as I was preaching, I said, there are things in churches that will kill what's going on. And it's not just people who are mean. It's not just people who are possessive or power hungry. There's spiritual things going on. And I named a few. And one of them was Freemasonry.
Yeah, that's right.
And when that service ended, the church leadership, I found out, was majority of Masons.
Oh, yeah. Huh?
The rank and file people out there were not, and God was moving. But the Freemason deacons went to the pastor and said, it's over, shut it down.
Wow.
A week or two later, this other preacher comes up to me and says, hey, I heard about what went on down to Antioch. That was good. He wasn't talking about the Mason thing. He was just talking about how people were getting saved. He says, I want you to come out to my church and maybe have a few nights of meetings. And I said, sure. I said, but I got to warn you, the Freemasons shut me down out there at Antioch. He's like, he said, I want to tell you something. The things you're saying about the Masons and what you've been told are lies. Just like that.
Wow.
Wow.
I'm not making it up. Foam in the corners of his mouth flying.
Yep.
I said, you got a devil in you. I said, you don't want me coming to your church because it's not God's church.
Amen.
And he turned around and stomped all over. I'm glad he wasn't a concealed carry. I think he would have shot me.
Yeah. Probably.
Yep.
And so when you read here, and I besought thy disciples to cast them out, and they could not, it's not always necessarily the disciples' fault. But in this case, Jesus is going to tell us, yeah, there's a problem here. The problem is about faith. Johnny?
I guess with the reaction you just described, it is pretty obvious that it definitely is evil because, you know, if it works, that they'd be trying to convince you, but instead they're just getting angry and stomping off.
And sometimes I've had them try to discuss it with me, and then they just tell me everything I'm saying is a lie, when I know them good and well they're lying to me.
Amen.
So there John 8:44 applies.
Yep.
Yeah, Doug?
Yeah, somebody was a good preacher was discipleship, was talking to this lady. This lady was full of the devil. And he told me that when he walked away from her, he was as like a wash rag, just, you know.
Yeah, exhausted.
Exhausted.
Yeah.
And this guy was a pretty strong guy.
Yeah. And what I was saying about his dispensation, the dispensation issue applies here. Faithless and perverse generation. He says, this generation is the apostate generation right before Jesus is crucified.
Amen.
After he's crucified, buried, rose again, we go into the book of Acts, you'll see this all flips on its head. Because during that transition period, they were given supernatural gifts that they didn't have before.
Yeah.
And even before they were dead, they didn't have them any longer.
Amen.
Right. We talked about the Apostle Paul, you know, leaving Trophimus at Miletus sick.
Yeah.
And the other things that they couldn't do, that which they did in the book of Acts. So now you have a bunch of con men, charismatic movement, trying to convince you that you can still do all those things. It's still for us today. And they always just, you know, bilk you out of money. It's a big faith thing. But we're going to see in Joel that there is a time described where that's going to happen again, just like the book of Acts. It's not going to happen because some charismatic preacher preaches it. It's going to happen, period. No one's going to be asking for it. No one's going to be preaching about it. That's what, in the book of Acts, no one preached about it and said, if you just believe, we can do this and that. No, it fell on them and it happened.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to happen. When it's God doing it, that's how it works.
Amen.
When you got to be talked into something and then ask for cash, there's a problem with that because that's not biblical. So in verse 40, it's their faith is still shallow and insincere, according to verse 41. Read that with me. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. So these people are still, as we'll see, they're not understanding even the basics of what Jesus is trying to teach them. And it's funny how the plain reading of Scripture destroys the sweet, fluffy version of Jesus. He didn't look at him and say, oh, bless your heart. Bless your heart. He says, oh, faithless and perverse generation. How dare you? You're talking to me? Yes, he was talking to whoever was there at the moment. How long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. This is just something that I want to throw in there. This is the kind of stuff you get on social media. Anytime you say anything that sounds mean or something. And somebody posted this, said, the only gang I'm interested in joining. And there's the crocodile hunter who said, be kind to animals. The other guy, I'm not even sure about in the corner there, he's an environmentalist, but I'm not sure of his name. It might be one of the Greenpeace founders, I don't know. But it says, be kind to the earth. Down the corner's Mr. Rogers, be kind to others. And then Bob Ross says, be kind to yourself. So I respond and said, aren't they all dead? I don't want to join that gang. Anyway, Jesus said, bring thy son hither. And verse 42, and as he was yet a-coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. An ugly scene. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. I just think, you ever heard the saying, talk is cheap? That just is pretty much Jesus' attitude. He doesn't spend all the time. You've been told this, but it's not true. If anybody reads Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus doesn't spend a lot of time waxing eloquent and sounding like, you know, fluff and muff and whatever. He's very direct, very plain spoken. Why? Well, because he is wisdom personified. And if you go back to the book of Proverbs, it says a lot of bad things about flattery. And so Jesus doesn't spend a lot of time flattering people.
He doesn't flatter anybody.
And I want to tell you, some of the people who have caused me the most trouble through the years have been the most flattering to me.
Yeah.
Now, some of you have been flattering to me, especially my beard. But I don't put you in that group unless you tend to turn on me. But the old preacher said, when someone's bowing down before you, you better watch out because they might be just grabbing a hold of the rug to pull it out from underneath you.
Yeah,
that's right.
Had somebody used to come in here, and it was weird. This person would say, Pastor Greg, I know that you are a true preacher, and you tell us the truth, and blah, 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 and then ask a question. And almost every time I talked to this person, it was all this flattery.
Yeah.
Well, let me just sum it up by saying they're not here today.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything. I searched my heart before God. I didn't do anything. And you're going to find that. You better watch out. That's why I like straight talkers. And I was very thrilled the second or third time through the Bible when I realized that most of the things said about Jesus are a load of nonsense.
Amen.
And it set me free to accept the real Jesus in the Bible.
Praise God.
He's a man. He's not a wuss.
Praise. Amen.
He's plain spoken. He's not a flatterer.
Amen.
He's not interested in impressing you.
Amen.
He's interested in your soul.
Amen.
He's not interested in your bank account, although he knows that if you really love him, you will give to his ministry.
Amen.
But that's not what he's all about. You never see him you know, planting seed faith offerings and all that kind of thing.
Thank you, Jesus.
So just like that, it's over. And that's where, you know, it's kind of compared with what we're fighting and striving and trying to stand for the truth, preach the gospel. We want to see people saved. We'd love to see the world follow Jesus, but we're failing. Why? It's not on us. As long as we're faithful to do those things, it's on those who reject Jesus. They're not rejecting me or you. They're rejecting Jesus and His Word. But suddenly, when Jesus shows up, it's going to be over just like that.
Amen.
Just like that. But the text emphasizes the response and answer from Jesus. Look at verse 43 in light of what we just read. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. For starters, should they be amazed? If they understand who Jesus is, they should be amazed at Jesus all the time, not when He does something. You see my point? And that's how a lot of people, their relationship with Jesus is. He's out of mind, out of sight and out of mind. And then when they need Him, begging Him to show up and do something. And then when He does, they're amazed. And it says, but while they wondered, everyone at all things which Jesus did, He said unto His disciples, read 44 with me, let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. See, His point is to preach the gospel even then. His point was, listen, I'm going to help people. I heal people because I'm the Son of God. I'm the Son of the Father in your presence. But I'm preparing you for my death. See? Folks, it's hard pill to swallow. But I got to tell you, no matter how we handle the next few years here in America, the worst is yet to come.
Yeah.
Yeah. Biden was right.
And the darkest age we've ever seen will be the last 7 years before Jesus returns. That's just the way it is, folks. And it won't be just because God decided to plan it all out that way. He's told us beforehand the reason it's going to be that way is because that's how wicked and evil end time human beings will be. And it's coming.
Amen.
And at this point, a lot of Christians are trying to bring in the kingdom.
Yep.
Ain't going to happen. And every time Christians, whether it's the Catholic Church or Calvin at Geneva or the, Amish, I guess it was, the Mennonites at Munster. You know, there have been examples where people tried to bring in the kingdom and set it up now, and it ends up being a terrible mess. Even like Calvin and the Presbyterians in Geneva, they killed people. Nowhere near to the level that the popes, but look at not only the Inquisition, look at the Islam. That's what Islam's all about. It's world conquering the world. That's why they've killed tens of millions of people.
Yeah.
It's an old saying from fundamentalist preachers. Kingdom builders become bloody killers.
Yeah.
Every time, if you know your history, that's happened.
Amen.
That's why we're not trying to build a kingdom. We simply want the God-ordained constitution of this country to stand.
Amen.
That's all we're asking. Every time people say, you're Christians trying to set up a theocracy, it's a lie.
Amen.
Of course, you can find some nuts in every group. Maybe they're out there, the Reconstructionists and Dominionists. You know, maybe they're, but that's a small portion of Christianity in America. And I'm here to tell you this: if there's ever a time where any Christian says they're going to take over this government, set up a Christian theocracy, I'll be their number one enemy.
Yep.
We have not been called to do that,
Amen.
And it will be a disaster if it's tried.
Amen.
It always is. So Jesus recognizes that they're looking for the crown before the cross.
Yeah.
And He's trying to tell them, before I rule as king, I am going to die on a cross. And He makes this point, His point clear, but they refuse to hear. So look at verse 45. But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them, that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. Ignorance and fear. That's a deadly combination.
Yeah.
That's why when he does die, they all forsake him. Old Testament saints were not looking forward to the cross. These are Old Testament saints right here.
Yeah.
And they're still under Mosaic law. This is still Old Testament. And they're not looking forward to the cross. They have no idea what Jesus is talking about.
Yeah.
And so when you hear that from preachers, just dismiss it. And we've discussed this previously. Jesus' followers refused to take him at face value and hear what he said. If you don't get anything else this morning, get this. The Bible says what it says. Will you accept what it says? That's it.
Amen.
And all these games these seminarians play and the skeptics play with interpretation. They're a bunch of liars.
Amen.
It ain't any different from reading your newspaper, except this, that you'll understand what's said, but without the Spirit of God helping you, you won't understand the implications.
Yep.
See?
Right.
That's the difference. So 16 times Jesus says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. You can look through the New Testament. You'll see 16 times where Jesus said, he that hath an ear, let him hear. 7 times he said it to 7 churches in Revelation.
Yep.
Each and every one. Look at Revelation 2. Go over there with your Bible. Look at Revelation chapter 2. In Revelation 2, verse 7. Just read the first part of verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. See that? He that hath an ear to hear. But look, he's telling him to hear what the Spirit. Why? First of all, this Bible is your Bible in front of you. It's material. There are words printed on the page. But those words themselves are Spirit. Jesus said, these words which I speak, they are Spirit and they're alive. You have to take those words in your through your eye gate or your ear gate. And we talked like Martha, with Braille, you can take it through your finger gate. You know, well, whatever means you receive the word of God, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So you have these words are Spirit. And that's why you have to have the Spirit of God in you if you're going to really hear what he has to say.
Right.
And that's why he says that. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. Look at verse 11. Again. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, you know what else that entails? He that hath an ear. Obviously, you've got ears, right?
Amen.
So what's he mean? He means those who have an ear, they listen. You have to be willing to hear it. You have to sit still and listen.
Yeah.
And with the Spirit of God in you, the willing person listening to the Word of God, there's an explosion about to happen. An explosion of understanding. But many people read the Bible and they're not really hearing. They're just looking for something to give them an excuse not to believe the Bible.
Yeah.
Other people have an agenda of some sort. They may be even Christians. But like the people who sprinkle and pour and call it baptism. It's just a ridiculous joke. The Bible is clear. There's baptism by immersion. You won't find any babies baptized. And they have to jump through some of the most ridiculous semantical hoops to come up with anything to defend that practice. Nobody who had not already given themselves over to that agenda would read the Bible and start sprinkling and pouring babies. That's something a stupid pope had to come up with. If you research it, that's where it began. And so, and no matter what the, you know, question is. Verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I'm not going to run through every one of these, but you can read it again in 2:29. You go to Revelation 3, you'll see it in verse 6, 13, and 22. Seven churches, and to every one of them, just he's saying that to every church. He's saying that to every believer. If you have an ear to hear, that's the first question. And in this generation is mostly, I'm talking about Christians. This generation, professing Christians, are mostly Laodicean.
Amen.
They do not have an ear to hear.
They are looking for something to tickle their ears.
Yes. Yes, they're looking for their ears to be tickled. Will you simply hear what Jesus says? These people he's talking to in our text back here in Luke 9. He can't be more clear. He says, "For the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men." Do you understand that? Do we have to have a discussion about interpretation? No. It's clear what he's saying. Look over at John 16. Well, I think we'll close it up here. John 16, 12 and 13. John 16, 12 and 13. This explains why these same people he's talking to don't get it here, but they'll get it after Pentecost. John 16, verse 12 starts and says, "I have yet many things to say unto you." That'll be the epistles. "But ye cannot bear them now." Now read 13 with me. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Now again, that was fulfilled. As far as when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. And that's what you find in the epistles. "But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." So the first thing as a Christian you have to understand is God has given you all truth. He didn't say he's given you every truth. He's given you what you need. And it's found in the rest of the script, the rest of the story. But a lot of people jump in here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they choke because they try to develop their doctrinal systems without letting all truth shed the light on what they're reading here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Yeah.
And First Corinthians 2, you don't have to turn there, but you can. First Corinthians 2, 12 and 14 is what we were discussing a moment ago. He said, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." See that? He's given us all truth, but if you want to know it and understand it, you have to receive His Spirit. That means you must be born again. Amen. You have to be saved if you want to understand these things in the Word. Right. Read verse 13 with me. "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." See, you have to have the Holy Ghost. You have to be born again. You have to have His Spirit in you. And then verse 14, read that. "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." There you go. That's it.
Amen.
Let's sing about that. Page 161, if you get your hymn book. "The Comforter is come." With God's Spirit, you can do right, but you must choose to do right. You must choose to believe the gospel. You must choose to read the Word and believe it. You must choose to pray without ceasing. You must choose to preach the gospel to every creature God puts in front of you. You must choose to surrender your life and to present your body as a living sacrifice. You must choose to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which comes by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Those are all choices you must make. God does not force Himself on anybody.
Amen.
But if you're willing, He will do it. Matthew 7:24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Y'all know the story. What happened to that house? It withstood the trials and tests. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. That's the house that crumbles away with the winds and the rains and the floods. And that includes Christians. There are Christians who then get saved and build their life on sand. The Bible also refers to it as making shipwreck. Don't be one of them. Amen?
Amen.
Stand, if you will, and let's sing number 161. The Comforter. Praise the name of Jesus.
Praise the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Good singing. All right, you can sit down for just a few minutes as we close in prayer, but we're going to ask the folks online to send in your requests to bbfohio@protonmail.com. The rest of you bring your prayer cards up. And we'll now say goodbye on three. One, two, three. See you here, there, or in the air.